Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, now why can't I hear it? Let's see. Oh, wait, I got the wrong. No, I got the right one. Okay, he's on. We're going to log out.
as well. Let me go ahead. I got to see some callers out there already. Hang on there, 803-397. We're going to get you on here in just a second. I think this is my man, though, our big sponsor, Barbecue Superstar, Mr. Daryl Mass. Let me click in here and see if we can bring him up.
Hey, what's going on,
Daryl, that's you, sir.
That's me, man.
How are you, man? You been doing good? Have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a great weekend. Worked on tailgating a whole lot. And, man, I tell you, I got a video up on Alabama where the only thing there Alabama's worried about all the way through the national championship is Johnny Mizell, Texas A&M, and Ohio State, and they're expecting to do the same thing. And so I thought I would bring that up tonight. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. Doing good, man. Had a good weekend. So had a good time up in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Got a little bit of rain up there, but it rained pretty hard Friday afternoon right there at the cooks meeting. But made it a little bit muddy in the place we cooked at, but not too bad. But nonetheless, pretty cool up there. Temperature-wise, I think it was in the middle, low 60s that night, and didn't get really that hot on Saturday. I guess maybe it was a little bit humid, that moisture coming up by that grass, but pretty good weather, though, for the most part. It's nice to, it's nice in July to, be in the mid-80s during the day, so that's a fun competition up there. The Spruce Pine Barbecue and a Bluegrass Festival. They tied in with a big festival downtown and play a lot of bluegrass music. Of course, you were up there, I think, last year, Daryl, checking it all out. So, and it's just like a lot of barbecue competitions throughout the Southeast. There's usually something tied in, whether it be a festival or bluegrass music or country music or some type of charity raising money for. That's a great thing about barbecue. So, that's a nice little place. And, yeah, like I said, it had a little bit of rain. I think kind of hurt the crowds on Friday night. But they did hold off on Saturday, and had some pretty good crowds on Saturday up there.
Well, good question. How'd you do, man?
We did great, Daryl. We were grand champion.
Oh, y'all won it!
Yeah, we won it all, man. Sure
oh,
did.
Oh, shoot, I should have been up there.
We had a good run. We took first in ribs, which, I'm always excited about ribs. Ribs is a category we take a lot of pride in. So we were first in ribs, second in pork, and then actually had chicken competition. We were tenth in chicken. I don't know what happened with the chicken. Our prior chicken was pretty good, actually. But nonetheless, we were grand champion, and they also had a steak contest on Friday night, a steak throwdown, and we won the steak throwdown as well Friday night. So we had a great weekend, man. It was a good run for us.
Man, that's awesome. We won the steak contest, too.
Yeah. You could do anything you wanted to with steak. If you want to do fajitas or kebabs or, just your favorite beef recipe. And I'll be honest with you, I figured some people are going to do ribeyes or maybe even fillets. And, fillets are good, but, you can't really get a lot of flavor in them. Quite honestly, they're tender and all. So I started, thinking and talking with Kathy. So we did flat iron steaks, actually. Flat iron is kind of thinking about barbecue. Flat iron is the kind of steak, it's not the best cut, but, it's got some marbling in it, and you got an opportunity for a lot of flavor. So we did flat iron steaks, and I tell you, our box, I was kind of impressed with it myself, quite honestly. We grilled a bunch of onions, and we actually, just like when you do, your barbecue pork box, we put obviously pulled pork in the bottom as our base. Well, we did a big thing of grilled onions. And so we had a big base of grilled onions in the bottom. And then I actually, I sliced up my flat iron. I did about 8 to 10 slices that were kind of like, almost like miniature brisket slices, but a little bit thicker. And then I did those in the middle, kind of fanned them. And then we took some of the same slices and kind of cut them in thirds, and it almost looked like it was almost the same as like brisket burnt ends. And we put those kind of like bookends on those slices. And then I took some bell peppers, and we sliced them about a half inch thick, and we grilled them as well. And we put them all, and we cut them in half. We put them all around the box, and that was kind of the border of our box. And I'll send you a picture of it. I was I have to tell you, that was probably our best ever Friday night entry we've ever done, you know, whether it be Gleams or anything but. I mean, the box just, I mean, I looked at that box and I told Kathy, I said, I don't know if this is going to win or not, but it's going to be top three. It's got to, because, I mean, this box just looks great. So, and the meat was good. It had a nice flavor. We tried to do kind of a Jack Daniels kind of flavor profile. I wanted it to be kind of, you know, a little spicy, but not bad. But that kind of pineapple, you know, kind of taste of doing that Jack Daniels. And, man, it came out good, Darryl. So, yeah, we were excited about that. They called that one first, and when they called us, I told Kathy, well, I got a good feeling now, so because all of our boxes were good this weekend. Our ribs were dead on. My ribs were about as good as they've been all year, other than maybe the ones we did in Columbia when we took first down there in South Carolina. These ribs were dead on. First, we had five comment cards on ribs, and all of them were, you know, just really nice comment cards. So, yeah, it's just a good feeling when you go do a cook and everything really comes together. All our timelines were dead on. You know, it just everything came together, you know, so it was a great weekend.
Okay. Man, I tell you what, now, it seems like last year, y'all was like, you and Jim Berg both, y'all were doing good, but it's like you were training. And this year, it's just all out balls to the wall, man.
Yeah, we had a, you know, I'd say it was a good cook for us up there. Our ribs have been really good. We've had five first place this year in ribs. You know, they did have some calls, you know, other places as well, KCBS and stuff as well. My point was a lot better. I made a couple little, you know, we're finally getting the point down where we don't make wholesale changes or big changes. We're making just little small, little tinkers, this and that. So I made a little adjustment on my butts, when we pull the butts, I kind of changed up the process of how we hold them, some things we're doing, and I think it helped out on the butts as far as the moisture content and all, and we got a nice comment card on those as well about how good the box looked. We missed first place in butts by half a point, in fact, which in SBN is very close. So. I think we ended up overall winning by about 2.5 points, which was good. And actually, I don't know what happened with our chicken. I was pretty pleased with the old chicken, but first time we cooked chicken in a while, actually. So maybe a little rusty on that, but luckily the ribs and and pork were dead on. So just very pleased, and we do pretty well. You know, SCBA and SBN, I think we've really got those flavor profiles kind of dialed in. So, it was just a great weekend. It reminded me of a Gamecock road trip because it's a pretty good little ride from Aiken, South Carolina to Spruce Pine. And I kind of look at these barbecue comps. It's kind of like the tailgate is going on a road trip. When you go up there and do real well, or especially if you get the grand, you know, it just makes that ride home a lot easier. And it's kind of like going and, you know, in a football game and getting that big win on the road. Man, come on, there's no better ride home than that Sunday, just coming home and, you know, just having a good feeling. And ride's a lot, it's a lot lot shorter. Trust me, when you go on the road and you lose a close one, or, you know, it's a night game when you lose and you got to go back to the hotel, then it's a long ride back, man. It's like the ride is three times as long. So that one, this is really, and kind of getting closer to college football, this kind of reminded me of a football road trip. You know, it's almost like you go and set up and you're out there tailgating. And of course, we're not exactly tailgating. We're getting ready and doing our cooking on Friday night, with no football game. But, you got all the camaraderie like you do with tailgating. And I guess really the actual judging is like the game. And so, you know, getting your name called is, like your team winning. And, then you're all packed up and you head for home. So it just was a really good feeling. A lot of good people up there. Just a real laid back crowd up there in North Carolina, and just nice country people. And we look forward to going back next year and trying to defend our title. So.
Well, we got another caller on this side. SmokerBilly.com called in.
Hey, what's happening? I'm driving down the road here, so pardon me. I'm kind of trying to pay attention to the road, too. But how's everybody doing tonight?
Doing well. Appreciate you calling in. Doing good.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, I was calling Daryl, and he said, "I just call in the radio show." So here I am. we're getting ready down here in Rolla, Missouri. Daryl's coming out. Is Jim on the phone with me here?
No, Jim from Killer Bees.
Oh, because see, I was going to say I watched his rib prep the other night, and spot on, man. That was really good. I watched it on the Barbecue Superstars YouTube channel. Very informative, is really good. So, but yeah, Daryl's winding up to come down here end of the week down here at Smoker Builder HQ in Rolla, Missouri. We're going to build a pit, a big old 250 gallon reverse flow pit, live on the air over the period of 4 days, and should be a really cool deal. We're going to donate that thing to. There's a barbecue contest that myself and a friend of mine are organizing at the Missouri Veterans Home in St. James, Missouri. The Missouri Veterans Home is an organization that takes care of veterans that need health care, like need supervised health care of any form. And so they've got residents and stuff. But they're veterans all the way from there. There's been veterans there as young as 26 years old that were being taken care of. But what they do is they take care of these folks, and there's a thing called the Assistance League, and the Assistance League pays for all of the transportation for the vets to get to, the hospital care they need or any checkups or anything like that, and Christmas presents and special meals and dinners and stuff and entertainment. And we're building this pit to donate to a raffle that's going to be held during that barbecue contest. And all the money goes to benefit the Assistance League. From both the contest and for the pit that we're building and donating. So be about a $6,000-$7,000 pit on a trailer, big old nice rig, it's going to be really cool. So you'll be able to watch it live. But
awesome, man. That's pretty cool. It's going to build it, put it right there. Just pretty much a scratch, I guess.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Well,
I was going to ask you, that size pit, is that dual doors or is it one single door? Is it have dual doors on each side?
Yeah, it'll have two main cook chamber doors. The tank's 30 inches diameter and 87 inches long that we started with. And I put a video up on YouTube the other day showing the tank itself and what we're going to be doing to it. And there's guys coming from all over the country, some from Alabama, some from up north, some from out west, and all ganging up on this thing all at one time. But it'll have two doors on the cook chamber and three shelves tall. So you'll have three cooking shelves. And then there's a warming cabinet or a rib box, whatever you want to call it, and a firebox, underneath of it. And it's a true reverse flow. So a lot like a Lang. We run a different tune than Lang does, but it's a lot similar pit.
I've got a Lang myself, actually.
Yeah, it'll be like a 4-foot by 10-foot trailer altogether, and there'll be plenty of room for wood box and all that stuff. But you can buy raffle tickets on bbqbivouac.com or – BBQ Bivouac, BIVOUAC /comp or .compbarbecue.com, I think is what it is. I'll have a link on Facebook later.
Okay.
But yeah. Daryl, are you still there?
Yeah, man. I was just taking it in.
Okay.
Now I need the address exactly where I'm going, and we'll leave out Thursday, and we'll definitely get there by Thursday night. And I'm really pumped, man. This is going to be awesome.
you're talking about tailgating and stuff, and this will be a lot like that feel. This is an every Saturday thing for smokerbuilder.com. Down here at our shop in Rolla, on any given weekend, if we're not out competing at a barbecue competition, we're here at the shop building pits. And, there's different guys from our forums or just people we know off Facebook that come down and they got a little pit they're building on or whatever, they need some help, and they'll bring their pit down here, and we'll help them out with it, or, you know, they'll help us on our pits and stuff, learn how to weld, things like that. But at the same time, there's any number of guys out there cooking in the parking lot at the same time, you know, learning how to cook or showing off what they can do, you know. So it's going to be pretty crazy. There'll be cooking going on and pit building going on and, you know, guys stopping by just to hang out, and, you know, you just get it's a good feeling. It's, you know, real open format, no pressure. So
where you're located at, I think Missouri, is that R-O-L-L-A? Missouri,
yes,
Lola, isn't there a college there as well?
A what?
Is there a college or university in it, Missouri Rolla?
Yeah.
There as well?
Yeah. It used to be called University of Missouri Rolla, or UMR. It's an engineering college, and they got a big-time football team up here. It's now they changed the name to Missouri University of Science and Technology, so they go by MST. And, you know, they play Mizzou and some stuff like that here and there, and got a pretty dynamite football team. You know, so it gets pretty busy up here. Good baseball team, you know. So,
yeah, kind of a,
but yeah,
kind
there's
of
a lot of tailgating there, too.
A friend of mine at Columbia went to film there, strangely enough, from South Carolina. That's why when I hear that name, it rings a bell. And also kind of a little tidbit for you is that Brad Scott, who coached at Carolina years ago, that's where he went to college at. Was Missouri?
It is.
I don't know why I always remember that. But yeah, that's where he went to school at. Because the friend of mine in Columbia is a big Gamecock fan. He sits not far from the baseball games. Kind of older guy, retired from the post office. That's where he went to school as well. So I always think about that, because when his guy came on and said that, I was like, man, that's so ironic, because I know exactly where that's at. He went to school there, stranger enough, so about that.
Yeah, this is a mining and engineering school where we're at.
Right.
Yeah.
So instead of MIT, it's MST.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How far are you from Columbia, Missouri?
I'm an hour and a half south. I'm on I-44, and, that's where Mizzou's at, is in Columbia. That's big time up there. I don't know all the football lingo for it, but, yeah, they're a big-time football team up there.
Yeah,
a lot of tailgating there.
Will be rolling in there. Yeah, we'll be heading out there in October, coming out. South Carolina plays Missouri this year at Missouri. So we're coming out. We'll probably leave on that Thursday, and I think we're staying in the St. Louis area one night, and then staying right there in Columbia, Missouri, Friday and Saturday. So we're looking forward to it. This will be South Carolina's first, I believe, first trip to Missouri. I don't think we've ever been out there. If we did, it had been years and years ago. But we're looking forward to it. A lot of nice people out there. I've traveled through Missouri some, and a lot of good folks out there in the Midwest. So we're looking forward to it. Should be a good trip.
Oh, yeah. Yep, for sure. So what kind of cookers are you guys cooking on when you're tailgating? What do you cook on?
Well, we, it's kind of a mixed bag for us. Like for my barbecue competitions, I've got a vertical smoker that would be kind of the equivalent of maybe a stump, very similar. That's what we use for barbecue comp. And then actually for tailgating, we do different meals and stuff for different games depending on what the game time is. But I've got you're talking about offset and reverse slow. I actually have a Lang smoker I've had for about 5 years that I really kind of cut my teeth on in competitions, and we still use it a fair amount. I use it for catering jobs and so forth. I take that up there sometimes to the football games. And, we cook Boston butts and cook brisket and, you know, things of that nature. So, and then I've got some smaller cookers we use sometimes. But, I like taking the Lang because, I'm a charcoal and wood guy. And that's how we like to cook mainly. And, of course, you know, those offsets, that's their bread and butter, obviously, is cooking like that. So, my Lang does not have the I don't know what would be the right terminology, but like the vertical box above the wood box, yeah, which I would like to have. But yeah, and it's what they call the Range 60, which is probably their middle of the road size wise. I think 60 being 60 inches. And mine's got a it didn't come this way, but I actually had to put a slide out rack kind of up top that kind of helps me get some more stuff in there.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm, those type cookers, I'm a pretty big fan of. They just the only reason I, you know, I kind of switched over in this competition, as you know, you just you tend to get a little more sleep, you know, with these vertical mm-hmm. smokers controlling the temp. But I still love, you know, if I had my, if I really had it the way I want to, I wish I had the capacity or be able to take my trailer, take my vertical smoker, plus take the Lang, because I love cooking ribs on the Lang. I just, I love the smoke flavor you get. I just love the way the ribs come off that type of grill. You know, just they come off so good. But you know, we take our big vertical and they are, or they run all night, and you get a lot more sleep. And I found that, you know, these competitions, it helps out doing it that way. That being said, though, man, offsets are they're strong. You know, I see a fair amount of guys in our neck of the woods over here that you know, cook offset, and they cook hot and fast. And so
yeah.
That's kind of the best of both worlds, I guess, because they're able to. You know, they're firing them up around 325, maybe 350. You know, they're getting up, you know, kind of about 5 in the morning and 4 in the morning and put their stuff on. So they're still able to get their sleep. They just get up a little earlier and, you know, put their stuff out there. But we're, my timelines and all, we're just kind of a traditional low and slow to maybe a little bit farther, maybe more like a 250, 275. I still like the old offsets, though, man. It's tough to beat. They're great grills.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get a lot better, you know, smoke flavor in the meat, you know, when you're cooking on a stick burner. You just can't get – you can't duplicate that on any other style of pit. You know, something else that, you know, the tailgate crowd would really be interested in is there's a style of pit called a Santa Maria grill, and we've been known to crank out a few of those here and there. But you've probably seen pictures of those. They got a big wheel on the top and a cable system, and you raise and lower that grate. And I got to tell you, there ain't nothing like pork chops that's been or pork steaks that's been cooked over pecan. There's just something about it, you know. But that's what we like to cook on those. And you can crank out a lot of food. I mean, you're cooking direct flame, you know, doing burgers or anything like that. You know, like Daryl did those. What were those burgers called you cooked last week that on the PG-500 and stuff?
Really, it's a Santa Maria burger. Now, it was a lot of Bull Barbecue's recipe, and he did it at the Bull Prize competition at the ACM Awards, and he won first place. And so it's a lot of Bull's recipe, but it's a Santa Maria hamburger.
Man, that I'm telling you, that hamburger is dangerous. It looked good.
ain't nothing better than burger and some wood flavors and charcoal flavor. But Darryl, we had a guy on about a year ago or something on one of our tailgate shows that, as I remember, built some type of tailgate. Santa Maria grill out of California, as I remember. I don't remember who it was, the guy's name, but there was a guy in California that made those type grills, you know, as well. So. But you know, as you know, that you know those anything that's a little bit easier carrying wise to take the game makes it easier, especially if you have a pickup truck or something. You put something in the back and easier to unload. But yeah, there's no doubt that cooking charcoal and wood like that you can't replicate that with gas and all. You know, gas, the biggest thing with gas is maybe constant temperature and. You know, being at a control temperature. But, you know, quite honestly, if you're a pretty good grill master, pit master, whatever it may be, you can do pretty much about as good a job with your wood and charcoal controlling the temperature. It's just knowing your grill and knowing how to, you know, knowing how to react to conditions and all. So, you know, I think most people, you know, probably more amateur-type cookers or people don't cook as much, I should say, you know, that's maybe the gas is better suited because it's easier for them, but. If flavor is your priority, there's no doubt, man. You got to have wood charcoal. That's got to be the way to go.
You know, another thing about those Santa Maria grills is it's just an attention getter. If you're out, you know, one of these deals and you're trying to sell some meat or whatever, or just show off or whatever, you know, people see a whole bunch. You can do ribs on them things too. I mean, they're not like a competition style rib, but you know, that's a whole another style of barbecue. Tri-tips. A lot of people like to cook tri-tips on those Santa Marias. And man, you talk about really grabbing some people's attention. They see that great big old wheel there, you know, and this grate sticking up and big flames and just piled full of meat. Man, they just can't get over it. They never seen anything like that, you know, especially out east, because they don't have a lot of those kind of cookers out there that I know of anyway.
Right.
And yeah, they're cool.
So basically on those grills, you're really just building a bed of coals, and for the most part, you're controlling your meat by the wheel, by your, basically, I guess, the distance of the meat from the coals.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, there's another style of grill. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a South American style grill that what they
artesian.
That's right. And Argentinian or something, but they they actually have a whole section of the grill that's for nothing but making coals. And so they throw their logs on that side, and then they move, once their logs get going, they move the coals over to the other side where they're actually cooking. And they got it doesn't raise up and down. It's got a big slope to it, like a steak grill would. And that's how I run these Santa Marias when I cook on them is, you know, I've got one side that, like, I use for searing and also for starting my coals. And then once I get a good flame sear on it, then I'll move that steak over to the other side of the grill where just the coals are. And, you know, if you get a big enough one of these, we've done them, you know, I've done plans for them where they're different, there's one grate, but you can control them separately. They raise up and down. One side's higher and the other side's lower, you know, and gives you a lot of different abilities on those cookers like that.
Hey, fellas, we got us another caller, 404-840. Who are you? What's going on tonight? 404-840.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Who's this?
Hey, this is David Shackett of Grillin' Magic in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you doing?
Hey, Grillin' Magic. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I've been trying to dial in here for probably, about a month and a half?
Oh, okay. Well, this is off the tailgate with BBQ Chris Palmer. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, man, how you doing, Grillin' Magic? Appreciate you coming on.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. So out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're out. Actually, Decatur, but Decatur,
yeah,
Georgia.
Yeah, they're about Fox Brothers. Fox Brother Barbecue's up the street from you.
Yeah, it's not too far.
Well, tell us about Grillin' Magic. We want to hear about Grillin' Magic.
Oh boy, Grillin' Magic. I started 2008. I did my first competition in 2009, Stone Mountain. I won Sauce Champion, beating out all the people competing, and that kind of kicked things off. My father passed away in 2009, in May of 2009, and we were going to do this competition together. And so anyway, instead, I could just hear him saying to go and do this competition. So I actually went and did the competition and won. So that kind of kicked everything off. I think I just said that. Sorry about that.
Hey, I've got some, I think they're pretty popular sauces. I'm not real familiar with sauces. I've seen them out there. I know, I think Myron Nixon has commented on them, I believe, on your stuff. Tell me a little bit about your, I think y'all have some ribs as well, I think.
Yeah, I've got three barbecue sauces. I've got Sweet Heat, which is a sweet tomato sauce with some kick to it. I've got Wild Mild, it's a sweet tomato mild. And I've got vinegar sauce, Benny vinegar. And I have four dry rubs. Two of them hot and mild for chicken and brisket, and the other one's hot and mild for pork and ribs. I've got injection. I've got a beef injection and pork injection. Matter of fact, Tim Thomas of TNT Smokers, I believe that's correct. I'm sorry, Southern Q Smokers.
Southern Smokers or TNT, that they're one of the same. That's them.
Oh, right, right. And he used my injection for the pork in Sam's Club barbecue tour and won Grand Champion. So.
And he won Grand Club.
I was real excited to hear that. Matter of fact, I was kind of jumping up and down.
What's your most popular product?
That's a good question. Pretty much all of it. I've got teams using my dry rubs and my injections, and of course I use my dry rubs, injections, my barbecue sauces and stuff, and I've done pretty well. I try to get out there and do some stuff. I'm going to be doing pigs and peaches coming up here in August. I'm real excited about that.
So what you doing next week?
That is a great question.
You know, I got the live television show now, and we'd love for you to come up to Spartanburg next week and do 2 days. My God, many rubs and sauces as you got. We'll do half of them one day and half of them the next, and I got a PG-500. You want to pull your grill up, and we'll do 2 days of grilling magic, and we'll put out there live television. We'll put everything you got up on the air. What do you think?
That might be a plan. I just last weekend I did a volunteer thing. I cooked for over 200 kids. Some of them were special needs kids. Some of them were underprivileged. But I cooked 800 hot dogs on my smoker.
Holy kaboom.
Yeah, there were 75 employees and over 200 kids, and they somehow managed to consume 800 hot dogs.
Holy smokes.
How many hot dogs out of peas, Chris?
I did six on a hot dog one time at a Gamecock Halloween party. I've done 800. That's a lot of hot dogs, I'll tell you.
I get 10 boxes and 80 hot dogs each box. I did the ones over at Sam's Club, the Albies. I did 10 of those things. I had nightmares for a couple days after.
that's a lot of hot dogs. Well, how about if you don't mind, take my email address. I'd be interested. I've talked to a couple of guys. I think that are using your sauce. I'd be interested in maybe looking at your sauce. I think it's kind of more of the flavor. I think you're kind of a ketchup vinegar. It's probably kind of more of our flavor profile we use, because we deal with a lot of guys out there. I mean, we take a couple and doctor them and add some stuff to them. I'd be interested in looking at some of your sauces. If you just go to, you can find us on Facebook, Ultimate Tailgaters or UltimateTailgatersBarbecue.com. Either one, you can find my info out there. You know, we got a competition team. We'll do probably 16, 18 competitions, and we actually won a grand this weekend up in North Carolina, our second one this year. So I'll be interested in looking at some of your stuff. I say the your vinegar based sauce looks like something up our way that we like to use. So.
Yeah, my vinegar based sauce, most people's sauce is like water, and mine I had made just a little bit thicker. And the reason why is when you put it on some meat, you can cut it down with water and make it thin too. But when you put it on meat, I want it to actually be there. Like if you put it on meat and put it in the smoker, how usually you have to keep on basting it because it runs off. This one doesn't. It just like sticks on it like a high gloss glaze type thing. It's really cool. Right. Authentic sauce.
That's the first thick viscous vinegar sauce I've ever heard of.
Yeah, it's,
it'll actually stay on the meat. It don't just run off.
Right, exactly. Like if you coat it with the chicken, you put it on chicken and you just put it in the smoker, it really stays there. It just doesn't run off because you can't put vinegar-based sauce on chicken. It'll just run right off. This stuff stays there. It's really cool.
Stays there.
Awesome. Oh, wow. Awesome. Good stuff.
Yep.
Now, if you go to Barbecue Superstars and go to contact, you can find my address, or you go to Barbecue Superstars fan page. If you can't make it up right now financially, I mean, if you'll send me whatever you want me to put on the show, but I tell you, I would really love for you to come up and we'll do a big 2-day thing and we'll cook with all your stuff. And I got a PG-500 out here, but if you got your own grill you'd rather cook on, shoot, we'll put you out there big, man. Grilling magic. I never heard of that before. And how long you been in business? How long you been doing what you're doing?
I've been doing it since 2008. I filed my LLC papers. I got my trademark in 2009. Grillin' Magic and my logo and my slogan, "It ain't barbecue till you wear it," is all registered trademark of Grillin' Magic.
What you think about that, Chris?
I know. On his website, it's got a big old mug. I'm trying to get to do that. I got mine mixing with barbecue sauce over his face and hands, so.
Yeah,
I've competed
with Myra in 2010 at the Big Pig Jig. We won Grand Champion, and I did Memphis May in 2012, I think, something like that. And we did Thomaston, the one that's on Barbecue Pitmaster.
Who did you compete with?
Myron. I was on his team.
Oh, were you there when the fight happened?
No, what fight?
Oh.
I won't.
That might be a bad question right there.
Oh, I was at the big thing. I froze my rump off. It was like 28 degrees. I couldn't get warm.
I went down to Myron's house for the barbecue memories class. Stupid me, in Georgia in January, and all I have is just regular pants and a shirt. And I had a jacket, but it's just a light one. And I like to froze to death down there. That was a hard couple of days, but it was a wonderful class. We got some great videos and everything. And you hang out with Myron much, or?
I have in the past. I haven't recently because he's so busy. This sounds like Daryl, though, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, man. I've done some stuff with Myron. He's a good guy.
I love him to death, man. He's a great guy.
Were you there when I was there that weekend?
No. Probably the same year though.
I met you before, hadn't I?
No, yeah, you met me quite a few times. I helped him out in his January class in 2000 and I think 11 or something.
Okay.
I helped him out up there. It was fun. Good class.
Yeah, man, I tell you, he's a smart dude. And you know what's hard to believe now? Chris, I don't know how many grands you got or Jim either, but could you imagine having 230 grand champions? I mean, that man... How do you even get there? You know, it's funny. Some of these other guys are pretty big champions for our time right now. You know, they're talking about, I got 88, 90, 92 grand champions and 230. That's just but you know, one thing Myron told me is. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I've got about 8 or 9, I think. So I don't think he doesn't have to worry about me. I won't be touching his record. He's probably got as many second places. Well, I said probably got as many tenth places I got. So, yeah, he's a good guy. He is a good guy though. I like being around him. I mean, we cooked around him a bunch. You know, probably half a dozen times at some contests. I've seen him at and spoke to him. But he's always been really good to us. He's a good guy. So I like Myron. No problems with him. Good fellow.
Yeah, he'll do anything for you though. He's a good guy. Now on TV and stuff, he acts all big and stuff like that. He's just really a big teddy bear, so to speak. Just really easy going.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, good deal, man. Don't be a stranger. And of course, Jim Burr's got on the flip side on Monday nights, usually 7 to 9. He's got his show. We have a barbecue tailgate show that Daryl's kind of a sponsor for us, and we talk mainly barbecue, but as it gets closer to college football, we have a big tailgate group, and we talk a lot of tailgating and college football, and we're big South Carolina fans, Gamecock fans, and so we tailgate all the games, and we travel on the road all around the Southeast to all the games as well. So that's kind of where my cooking and my barbecue comp stuff came from, was the love for tailgating. So we love to have you call on time to time and talk about your product, certainly. I just sent you a little message on Facebook, so I'd be interested in learning more about your sauces and so forth.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Maybe take a look at a couple things.
I'm also a barbecue. I probably am not allowed to mention that, but I am a barbecue guru dealer. I don't know if any. I'm allowed to mention that or not.
A barbecue guru?
No, I'm not. Dealer, yeah, you.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm a barbecue
guru dealer.
Cool. Okay.
I'm a dealer for a few different things. Ergo Chef Knives, they're a real big sponsor of mine. They've got excellent cutlery, and you can find that on my website, too.
Okay.
Cool.
Grillin'Mac.com.
I got to go to the website and check it all out.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'm sorry.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. And let me bring another caller in here, Dale. I think I got some football guys on hold here, I think. We got 803-397-4180.
That's me.
I think that's my man Ray Shearer calling in. Talk a little college football tonight as well. We've been talking
about
barbecue,
it,
as you've been over to hear. Good, 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 man. Apologize. I know you've been on hold for a while. We've been talking some barbecue, but I was going to try to kick off a little bit talking college football tonight. We're just around the corner from college football season. It's hard to believe once we hit July 4th, it just everything takes off, and next thing you know, we got football right around the corner. So, what's some of your thoughts coming up to with the season? Now, we just went through SEC media days, and in our area, and I think ACC has gone through as well. You got any initial thoughts with the season coming up, Ray?
Well, I can say right now, needless to say, we're pretty excited. It'll definitely be a fun season. Expectations are as high as ever, and it just ought to be fun to see how it plays out. So, needless to say, got a few tough games there with Georgia on the road, and of course starting off with North Carolina at home. But anyway, the talent is out there, and we got some experience in some key spots, and got some other spots that got some talent, but don't have the experience. So it's going to be fun to see how that plays out. So anyway, just excited to get it started. And it's hard to believe that from Thursday, it's not but what about 5 weeks ago. So getting about that time.
It's hard to believe it's come around that fast, and you get all your preseason, obviously magazines are out, and of course all your, a lot more talk shows gearing up college football, and of course, SEC is kind of a love-hate thing. Anybody in the SEC or loves SEC football loves hearing about it. Anybody outside the SEC gets tired of hearing about it, but quite honestly, SEC is still the big dog in college football right now, based on the last 6 or 7 national championships, and until somebody knocks them off their pedestal, it's going to continue to be that way. So that's pretty much the buzz I think you're still hearing around the country is SEC, and obviously there's some other big-time programs out there from Pac-12 and Big 12. But you know, SEC is right now where it's, you know, right where it's happening still, and somebody's going to have to knock one of these guys, you knock them out. But you know, SEC to me is going to be, it's going to be strong again. I think, you know, quite honestly, you know, I think South Carolina's going to be very good this year. Obviously, Georgia's very good. You know, I'm not sure about Florida. I think they may be a little. I'm not sure about offense and their quarterback. How good that guy's going to be. He's obviously very talented. But they still should be very strong. And then you look over on the west side of the you know, the SEC. Now you got Alabama, obviously. Of course, they got back to back national titles, and you know, just like a lot of teams rebuild, all they do is reload. So, and they got McCarron coming back, and of course they lost a lot of guys, but you know, they got plenty of guys to fill in those holes. And you know, you got LSU is always strong, and then of course you got Texas A&M with the Heisman guy. If he can stay out of trouble, and they might need to put a muzzle on that guy. So I think he seems to be Garcia-ish, you know, for lack of a better word, from the Gamecocks. He may have a little better head on his shoulders. I don't know, but I just listened to his comments, and you know, I'm just wondering how much respect he's going to get from other teammates and all. I'd be interested to see how their season pans out. He may you know, be able to put it on hold and just go out there and play football. But I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with all that, and as their team goes throughout the year. And of course, they got that big Texas A&M Alabama game. I think it's somewhere in September, isn't it? That's going to be a big showdown down there at College Station. So that'll really, you know, if Texas A&M will find a way to beat those guys again, I tell you, that would be, you know, they would. That would be huge for them. Of course, they, you know, they've got a pretty tough schedule to be on that west side still, but should be a great season. The SEC. It's always exciting. Of course, like I say, a lot of other great conferences out there, but man, I tell you, the SEC is just with 14 teams now, and adding Missouri and Texas A&M, man, it's you got great matchups every week now.
Well, with Menzel, it ought to be pretty interested in seeing he's having won the Heisman. He's not going to sneak up on anybody this year. And you sit here and wonder about the old so-called sophomore slump type deal. So it will be interesting to see, because needless to say, there's a lot more pressure on him this year than there was last year. And but it ought to be two pretty good divisional races in the SEC, both on the east and in the west. So it like I say, it ought to be a fun and exciting season, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Hey, let me bring on. We've got another caller. We've got a couple callers here. We got. I think this might be my man Scott Carter here. 824-9657. Hello, 824-9657. Are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Is this Scott?
Yeah, this is Scott. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? Good. I saw your number pop up there. Wanted to bring you on. Man, we're loading up with Gamecocks tonight, Daryl.
Yes, sir.
appreciate you calling in. I saw you had a lot of stuff on the grill this weekend. You were you had a big feast over there down your neck of the woods.
Yes, sir. I've been trying to practice up, getting ready to go to one of these competitions shortly, so.
You're getting that feeling, Arthur. You're getting in your blood, isn't it? You got to go out there and do it.
Yes, sir. Trying to wait on it to cool down a little bit.
Yeah, luckily we're getting up to North Carolina this weekend. We were fortunate that it wasn't 400 degrees out there.
Yeah,
we were in the grass and up there in the mountains and all, so it made it pretty nice. Some of these places around the country, it gets pretty doggone hot. You know, out there cooking, so it's a lot better in the spring, and then obviously in the fall. So, you gonna try to get some comps this fall, or just kind of still working on some things? And
I think the first one I filled out the paperwork the other day was smoking on the lake down in Somerville. I think that's September the 13th and 14th, and then I'm gonna try to go to the Collard Festival.
That's a Southern Barbecue Network event down there in Somerville. That's exactly right. Yep. Yep. I was actually looking at that myself. That's a South Carolina home game. We're gonna try to cram in a couple where if it ends up being a night game, which I think that is I believe that may be a night game. So if it's a night game, I may try to sneak in down there and cook a couple of these when we got a night game and do that. Yeah, there'll be some good ones down there. That there was one time in Somerville Mall, you usually bring in a pretty good amount of cookers from Charleston and so forth. There's a lot of good. I think you got Qology, Summer Swine. You got some good ones down in that area. So it's a lot of good guys as well that cook those events. So you can go and mingle with these guys and learn some stuff. Certainly, the FBN events are pretty similar to the SCBA. The one thing I like about SBN is most of the time they do at least two items, and sometimes three, like the one we did this weekend and Spruce Pine was three items, and I like their format, especially if there's somebody just starting out or just want to, you've got that barbecue bug. They make it a little bit easier because they've got the hour turnaround instead of 30 minutes in KCBS. So when you got a 30-minute turnaround on doing four meat items, that's pretty tough if you don't really have your timelines down to exact. So, having the hour timeline makes it nice. And if you just got two items as well, I think you'll enjoy that. That's a good way to cut your teeth and learn some stuff. And especially if you're going to cook mainly in South Carolina, I think you'll find, too, that SBN and SCBA, their flavor profiles to me are very similar as far as the judges. You probably have some judges probably actually that do both of them. And makes it a lot easier. I still don't think I've totally figured out KCBS flavor profile. So that's why we've cooked a lot more SCBA this year and SBN. And we seem to do pretty well in them. So I guess our flavor profiles are dead on with those. But we don't seem to be quite on it in KCBS. We finally broke through on some rib stuff this year and chicken in KCBS. So I think we're getting there. I kind of like the SCBA and SBN personally. They're just a little bit more laid back. Good competition, very competitive still, but just good folks.
Yeah, I think this one actually, they're cooking ribs, the Boston butts, and the chicken, so it'll be pretty interesting.
They're all three, okay. Good.
Yeah.
That's great. You just
hey,
like what we did
Chris,
up here. And,
You said something about Mizell. Did he say something else? Now, I know he said he was ready to get out of College Station, but did he do it again? He said something else?
Now, I think really what's happened is obviously the media's kind of gotten a hold of all this, and where most of us all come from, Darrell, is he was at that elite football camp, the Manning elite football camp, and I don't know if anybody knows what the exact story was, but basically he overslept, he was hungover, who knows, but he didn't show.
Uh-oh.
And so forth. So he basically was asked to leave, and of course that happened, just a couple of weeks before SEC Media Days. And of course they had him slated, to come to SEC Media Days. Yeah. If he wouldn't have been the Heisman winner or something, I don't know. It might have been the Texas A&M best interest. They might have should have just left him at home, and it would have been easier on him probably. But being the Heisman Trophy guy, I think, you got to take the guy to SEC Media Days. And, of course, he got barraged with questions. And I don't end up against the guy, quite honestly. I listen to all his analysts and all, and I listen to a lot of things he said. And it just some of the things he said, I don't know, it didn't seem – like he still quite gets it. I don't know. I'd say, and of course, he's just 20 years old, so I'm certainly not holding against him, but I don't think he still quite gets it, I don't believe. So I'll be interested to kind of follow him throughout the season and see kind of how his teammates and so forth respond to him. And, he's probably going to get a couple of big shots from defensive guys, talk a little smack to him and so forth. So, I think that all just kind of got fired up this past week there with SEC Media Day. It's kind of settled down a little bit, but I watch ESPN every morning, and of course they And it was on there again today. They even had a little segment talking about Johnny Manziel again. So, in this day and time with Facebook and Twitter and all that, man, everything's live meat, I tell you. So you got to be careful, I tell you. You know what you do out there. So his coach is really, I think, we'll have to really get a handle on him.
Chris, I know you got a good handle on everything, pretty much in South Carolina, being on the boards and all. But you know, for the panel over there. Who's our best running back, and what order do you think they'll start this year?
That's a good question. I think more likely we'll see a pretty good little platoon starting out. You got Brandon Wiles. It ought to be back to back to 100%. So he's, I think Brandon's actually a junior now. I believe that's correct. So he's going to be a guy that you see, see a lot out there, I think. I think the Mike Davis kid, Mike had some good games last year. He had some good runs. He's not a real, big kid, but man, he's got some speed and he's got some good cutting ability and all. So he's going to be another one. I think we'll see a pretty good amount of the starting as well. You know, Spurrier, he likes to, he doesn't mind, with the two backs. I mean, he likes to have some of these guys, catch the ball out of the, out of the backfield. So I think we'll be looking for a player or two that, could fit that mold. I don't know, Wiles, I think he's more of a true running back. I think you may see Mike Davis. I think he's a kid that hopefully he'll have some soft hands and, can catch the ball a little bit. You got another kid that I think was hurt. We haven't really seen a lot of him named Kendrick Sally. He's my neck of the woods here, Williston, South Carolina. He's another kid that's supposed to he's kind of a spark plug kind of looking guy. I think he's about 5'9", goes about 200. And then we had a pretty good bad recruit come in. This may be a kid that gets redshirted unless he just really sets it on fire. Got a kid out of Philadelphia, David Williams. I think he was a 4-star guy that was brought in. And he could be a kid, I think, that would maybe redshirted, if Wilds and Davis do well. And of course, the guy that we hadn't really seen a lot, unfortunately, he's probably the best athlete of all the running backs, is Sean Carson, a kid out of Lake City, South Carolina. He could be more of your, I don't know what the right word is, scat back, more of your guy that third down kind of dude, catch the ball out of the backfield. He's an unbelievable athlete. I mean, he was a heck of a baseball player in high school as well. He could hit a baseball a mile. It's an unbelievable athlete. So, I'm going to say Brandon Wiles is probably going to be your starter probably the first game, but I think you're going to see a lot of Mike Davis, Darryl, and then I think we'll see, some Sean Carson and, then you're looking more at the fullback position. And I think we'll probably see, I think there's a kid, he may be listed as running back, but I think the Joshua Blue, I think, and he's another kid, he's kind of a spark plug looking kind of guy. We may see him some, kind of a blocking dude, maybe. And then I think also the kid out of Rock Hill, Garrison Gist, maybe another one. He's a not a real tall kid, but he's built like a brick wall. So, it's going to be, kind of platooning guys. But, I think Wilds and Davis should be your main guys, though.
What do y'all say on the panel there? Who are you looking for? Is there any names that you know that might be another? Well, we'll never have another Marcus Lattimore, but somebody of that quality.
No.
Well, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Scott, you still out there? Got any thoughts on that? I'm at a loss. I tell you, Joe, I think we got another caller here. Let me. 803-397-2724.
That's it.
Hey. Yeah, who's this?
Woody, man. Woody Chase.
Hey, Woody, what's up, man? I didn't recognize your number.
Yeah.
What we got?
Yeah, I think I swapped it up with the CIA during football season so nobody knows who it is when I call Clemson fans.
what's your thoughts at running back, Woody? That's kind of what I'm thinking is, you know, I was at that Wilds is probably going to be the starter. You know, he's kind of, I mean, it's one of the few guys. I don't think we got a senior running back. I think him, he's a junior, and Joshua Blue is a junior. And, I think there's another kid, Connor McLaurin or something like that. I think he's a junior, but we're pretty young at running back. To think about it, I think we got some talent. You know, Rashawn Carson and I like Mike Davis. I think Mike, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy. I like the way he runs. He really runs downhill, I think. And yeah, I'm excited about seeing Carson get in there too.
The Davis kid runs like his brother, and he's downhill. And when he hits that hole, he hits it pretty good. He's got a little steam behind him, and I think too he's a little more bullish than Lattimore. Lattimore is more of a juker. He can make you miss. He hits you, but he still make you miss a little more.
Right.
And he drag tackles. I think the Davis kid is more of a hit the hole. Pounder kind of guy, but he can get to the outside just as well. Very similar to his brother. I guarantee you the orange and white up there would have loved to have had him as well, especially right now because I'm not quite sure that they're totally set on their backs yet after losing Ellington. So, but I feel like the two-headed monster we got plus Sean Carson sticking his head in there once in a while is going to be pretty good. And the thing about it is, if you're running two or three backs like that, you're not wearing them out. And the Wild kid has got experience, obviously, because he's seen the feeling. He'll actually only be a sophomore, so remember he redshirted last year, so he played as a freshman. He'll be a sophomore.
I guess they did get that baby out all year.
Yeah. The good thing about both of them kids is they've got a year behind them, and both of them ran with Lattimore, so they've had some experience with him. And I think you'll see Everett Sands stick his philosophy in with those kids too, about which ways to hit holes and cuts and things like that. He was pretty good back at the Citadel, so I think that's pretty standing. I'm looking forward to seeing our offensive line look like it's going to gel a little better this year, and especially run blocking. I think those guys having, except for the center, having both bookend tackles and bookend guards back are going to be a big beneficial to not only the backs, but Connor as well, if he decides to take off or calls himself for a play. And from my understanding, the new center, there's no fall off, hopefully. I mean, obviously, he ain't a four-year starter like the guy that went pro. But, you know, at the same token, I think he's been training his replacement, if you know what I mean, for the last year.
Right.
They say he's a dang lighter knot stump, so... That's got to help a little bit, you know. I think a lot of the, you know, I know everybody's got our defensive line as the top thing, and our backs, deep backs, starters aren't that bad. There's a little drop off with the secondary for the second guys because really don't know, hadn't got any experience there, and especially obviously the linebacker. But I'm looking forward to seeing our offense play a little more this year. And I think we're going to see a little better continuity as far as moving the football when you got a senior and junior quarterback out there that knows what they're doing and are pretty healthy. So that's going to be a big plus. So kind of want to see a little bit about our special teams. After obviously losing Ace, we're going to have to replace him on the punt team and hope. I'm hoping Victor can pick that up and not get hurt because obviously we don't need to lose him at D-back right now. So that'd be a plus if he could come out and really do well. The kicking, obviously, you lost a good kicker, so we got to have a couple guys coming in that are going to try to give it that shot. And hopefully the year or two behind the experience will be able to one of them will be able to step forward and follow the lineage of our decent kickers that we've had the last few years. Obviously, you'd want that one of those kids to be able to kick it out of the end zone. Because I don't care if they get it on 25 or not. I'd rather have it there every time than at the other end zone. So I'll take a kickoff out of the back of the end zone any day of the week. And sometimes you go, man, Ryan Suckup was that good? And he was. And he put it out about 70% of the time in the back of the end zone. So that's pretty good outstanding foot if you can get it in. But well, how you been, man? You been? I saw your cooking going on. So you've been. So you won a few events, and how you ranking in the state right now?
Well, we're right. This one in North Carolina was actually Southern Barbecue Network. So that was our first grand this year with them. We actually won a grand with them last year. We've had some top finishes at some of their comps. Right now, I think we're still ranked fifth in South Carolina. We're still running a couple of comps behind some other teams. If we had the same amount of comps, we'd probably be around third. So it's starting to tighten up now. Yeah, after you cook 12 competitions, you can throw out your worst score. So now things are going to start to tighten up as people hit that 12 mark and the ability to be able to drop some lower scores, the possibility of that's where we will suffer, or I say suffer will kind of hurt us. We're just barely going to make 12 contests because, there's a fair amount in the fall, but I don't want to miss a football game. I'm going to look at a couple. I may try to – there's actually two contests on open dates which work out good. We have two open dates this year, which is great. So I'm going to cook two of those. And then I'm hoping to catch maybe we may have a night game. And if we have a contest, in the Columbia area within 25 miles, like I did one last year, as you remember, I'll go cook that. And, instead of getting there, 8, 9 in the morning, we'll be getting there about 10, about 12, 1 o'clock. I can maybe add,
remember,
When
you cook it, Chris, make sure we get all the residuals, man.
You get residuals? I got you, man. We can do that.
That's somebody got pretty good that. Ribs, man.
I'd say. And the ones he cooked ain't bad either, right, buddy?
hey,
man.
For a minute. Meat Rate is on the line over here, and they said the next caller in to Ultimate Tailgater PPQ. Now, you can call Jim Berg's number, and you'll get into Ultimate Tailgater, but the next caller and the Ultimate Tailgaters gets a free set of meat rakes. And if you're not familiar with meat rakes is a product where you cook a Boston butt or a big old brisket or any piece of meat. You can even rake steaks, pork chops, it don't matter. These things will keep your hands out of the heat, and they'll allow you to shred that meat up where you can make you a big old sandwich or whatever you want. So the next caller to call, 646-915-9540 will receive a free set of meat rakes. Go ahead, fellas.
Wow. How about that? Can I call in my own show?
Yeah, it's good. The last time I called you guys, I had that surgery, the sleeve, so I'm not able to eat
as much.
I've lost 150 pounds so far.
150 pounds, that's awesome.
Which is basically a woman. Basically, I've lost a woman. Now I'm trying to lose an average man. And hopefully by football season, I'll be at that spot. Have you told him about the guy in Maryville? Maryville, Tennessee, that one I gave you.
No, I got the pamphlet. It's a pretty cool place. There's a couple of places I've seen kind of similar to that. Daryl, my buddy Woody here was up and had to go up to Knoxville, and I guess Maryville is kind of in that area. And I think the guy, Woody, I think he opened up an old gas station. Is that correct?
What it looked like was an old Amoco or Citgo. It had a one of those stations in the middle where he went and paid, and he took the pumps out, put picnic tables in between the two stations, and had a drive through one of them right by a smoker. So when you pull up there, man, the smell just drives you kind of like, oh man, I got to get about a pound of that crap, man. That's good. And what he did was basically he's got briskets and ribs and all that, but his briskets, man, I went back the next day. I only had one visit, but I went back the next day to make sure I had lunch from him as well, bro. So I ate him up twice. But it was a real unique idea to use an old gas station as a barbecue restaurant / drive-through to sell your product. Because I see a lot of folks, you know, they'll pull up a grill or smoker somewhere, like on the side of a building in some of these small towns I've driven through, and, you know, they'll sell their product right there on the street. They don't even open up a restaurant. Especially here in the South, I'm sure you've seen that a time or two.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of neat like that when they do that. Absolutely.
A lot of those guys, Chris, are that meat that they cook is some real good crap, real good stuff, man.
Yeah, they just set up smokers basically just right there, and doing how we really like to do it. We like to give everybody competition quality or competition type, you know, pick cook barbecue. And, you know, quite honestly, you're just not going to get it in a lot of places. And that's not knocking those places. But, you know, Kathy and I were talking about this earlier. Some people cook for quantity, or to feed the masses. And you have some people that cook, and the number one objective is taste and quality. And, of course, that's how we try to do our meals. I mean, we catered a job last Wednesday for 450 people. And, I didn't skimp on anything. We smoked all the butts pretty much like I would in a competition. All those butts were injected. I used the same rails I used in my butts.
Wow.
I do a competition. If I'm going to go do an event, and I know some other guys out there, and I'm not beating down or nothing, but I know some guys out there that they don't like doing it that way because, you know, they're trying to make some extra money, and what's nothing wrong with that. But my belief is, you know, what our motto or slogan is I'm going to bring competition quality barbecue to you. If I want to do that, then I got to cook it pretty much like I cook it, at a competition. And of course, as you know, Daryl, you've been in the trailers or around people, and that's a tedious thing. You're prepping all on it. And, man, I injected 22 butts last week, and around 22 butts. Wrap 22 bucks. Do I use them like I do? And, we put competition quality barbecue out there for them. Baked beans were the same way. I did the same baked beans recipe for 450 people as I would for, 50 people at a job. So we smoked, I think it was six large pans of beans. We just try to do it that way. And hopefully the end result will be a lot of happy people, and I think so. We did that job Wednesday, and did one a couple of days before that. And then I did a job on Thursday, and then we did a catering job last night for about 50. We've got one tomorrow for about 40 people. We got another one Thursday for 40 people, and then we got one Saturday for 75 people. So
I've told him he needs to go get
people here.
I told him he needs to go get in the business. He don't need to be doing the other stuff he's done.
We're getting there. We're getting closer, I'm going to tell you.
Chris, that's big time integrity. You know, there's so many people out there that they'll do so good in competition when it comes to catering, they'll cut corners, and what they actually put out is nothing even close to what they cook at a competition. And Chris, I just want to tell you, man, that makes me feel big. And, man, that's big-time integrity, bud. And shoot, Ultimate Tailgater BBQ, hell yeah.
Man, I feel like if we're gonna get in competition quality, I think that's what they ought to get. Now that's pretty much almost exact. I mean, sauces and you know, Daryl, pretty much some of the sauces we use, and it's not cheap stuff. I could go into Sam's and buy some, there's a lot of stuff you can buy in the gallon size, and we can talk through that, and we can make it pretty decent. But I want people to taste. What we hopefully win awards with on the weekend, and that's how we're gonna build our business that way. And I may not make quite as much, but hopefully the ones we get that we cook for, they'll be having staff again and again and refer. And I think in the long run it'll benefit us doing it that way. So that's what we're gonna do.
Man, that's awesome, man! I tell you, I wish everybody done that because it would promote the sport. It would promote barbecue just so much more. Now, I just want to bring up something. You two fellas are really knowledgeable about South Carolina football. But I've been watching ESPN. Now, last year, we were the first game of the season. I don't know if y'all remember, but we were like the game of the week on Thursday. Really, the first big college televised game was South Carolina. And it was coming up to the beginning of the season. They did a lot of hype on South Carolina. And now this year I was watching ESPN, and I was so disgusted. The guy says, well, South Carolina will give a lot of people a run for their money this year. And I just want to get y'all comments on how y'all feel about that now.
Yeah, I think that Thursday night game, for starters, I think, what are we not in the early side of ESPN, and there's a later game as well? Is it Vandy and somebody, actually?
Vandy and Vandy. Yeah, they play Mississippi State. Mississippi's first game.
Okay, yeah, and I think because our game is actually 6 o'clock, isn't it?
Right, it's ours at 6, and Vandy starts at 8:15 against Ole Miss.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. I remember Coach Springer kind of commented this as you meet him, they asked him about the Thursday night game. Of course, he loves starting off the season, and that first game, he gets that publicity, that TV exposure, and I think also what obviously happens for South Carolina most time is our next game obviously is Georgia, so coach is no dummy. That allows South Carolina basically 2 extra days, to prepare for Georgia, so that sets up good. We can do a little extra game planning, and that's certainly not the knock on North Carolina, but Georgia is a conference game, and on our, not in the conference, but on our, on our side being the SEC East, so that's a critical game. So getting a couple extra days in there helps out, and of course that exposure certainly is big, and I think the exposure this year is very helpful, because now we're still kind of riding that Kanye wave, and he is still getting tons of hits on Google and so forth and YouTube. And the thing I like right now, Woody, is the media seems to be really liking him. And I don't know if it's kind of the media getting behind, really pushing a defensive guy for Heisman. I'm not sure, And, of course, he said maybe a couple things maybe he shouldn't have at SEC Media Days. But, strange enough, we're going to the barbecue competition on Friday, driving up to Spruce Pine. And I was listening in to one of these serious shows, and you know what? These guys really liked what he said and thought it was a good idea, because it got him out in front of people again, talking about the Heisman thing. And they were really talking favorably about him. They didn't really think what he said was bad. It was probably the way he said it. Could have been said a little differently. But, the kids, he's just a freak of nature. But when he says stuff, he's got that big old smile on his face, and he kind of laughs. And so you kind of have to laugh with him. It's not like he's really talking a lot of smack. He's kind of being serious, but he's kind of being funny. And I think the media likes that, And sometimes it's all about perception. And right now, his perception in the media is very good. And if he could if he can get off in that game and have a big game and really get some meat attention on that first one, I tell you, that's, you're off to the races, and then you play at Georgia, and, you know, and who knows what happens after that. But he's got a chance to start the season off with the Thursday night ESPN and then next week at Georgia on ESPN. If he can have some solid games, I think that gets his, you know, his Heisman possibility. I think that really gives him the opportunity to, you know, to really kind of move to the front, per se. You know, I think it's pretty obvious he's already a top 10 guy, it looks like. And so he can be one of your top five guys starting out the season, don't you think?
I believe him, Ridgewater. Unfortunately, I'm not really happy about it, but I think they'll give a lot of attention to Boyd. Because he's gonna really have some good numbers against that against the league. The ACC. He'll have a lot of good numbers. I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's not, you know, I don't. You know, I'm obviously biased, but I think him and the Bridgewater kid, they'll play Manziel up a little bit. Having to draw a blank now. The guy, they'll play Georgia's quarterback up a little bit if he comes out of the gate. If they win the first two games of the season, Georgia does, they'll play him up for it. But Bridgewater, I think, has got the inside track because really they don't play anybody at all. And he ought to be able to pad his stats up if he don't get hurt. He ought to be able to pad his stats up on it. He's on a good team. I'm not knocking Louisville. They just don't have any major. I don't think they play anybody in the top 20 until maybe Cincinnati at the end of the year.
Their schedule hurts them, no doubt.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to hurt the dang quarterback for the Heisman. It may hurt, you know, as far as overall coming, unless of course. You know, one of the big name guys goes and obviously, smokes everybody out, and they go 11-0. Then obviously, they would probably be your leaders. But yeah, I agree with you. He's definitely in the top five. Now there's some other guys that people are out there throwing around, but I just don't see it. I don't see them breaking in there unless they're just some guy like RG3 came out of nowhere. And, won it that year or something like that. But I tell you what, I am looking forward to that Thursday night game, man. These guys have been ducking us. They can say what they want, but they've been ducking over the last 3 years trying not to play that game. I'm surprised and shocked that they just didn't send us money and say they wouldn't come.
Hey, what about Louisville not going to the ACC? Are they officially not going to the ACC now, or what's going on with that?
No, they're going next year. They're not in it this year. I think it was a situation of scheduling and the fact, too, that Notre Dame is not coming into play, but just the five teams the next year after that with them, which that gives them an even amount of teams again. So I think that's the case because I think once Louisville joins, they'll have what, 15, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's right. I thought it was kind of comical how Coach Spurrier kind of took a couple of, as well as grouping all the SEC coaches in, talking about the Notre Dame ACC thing. I don't know if y'all heard his comments, but basically saying they all kind of voted and think Notre Dame should, you know, you're in or you're out, basically. And I agree with that. I don't care who you're a fan of, but I think this Notre Dame ACC thing, it's a complete joke. They either should be in there in the conference or quite honestly, Notre Dame should be in the conference. That's all there is to it. With the ACC thing, it just makes no sense. I mean, they're gonna play some games and so forth, but there's nothing to do with the ACC championship, though. It makes no sense, really. I don't really understand it. They need to play totally in the conference, or just don't play. That's all there is to it. But
Yeah, I think they're going to do similar to what they did, what Florida State did and Miami did, and that's when they first can get in there. If they ever do join the conference, but they'll already be an established enough program that they could dominate that league or at least become a top-tier team in that league. That's where they didn't even hesitate about not being in the top in the Big Ten because they knew they couldn't get in top four. Anyway, I'm going to go, fellas, but I'm going to leave you on this one note. And
do it.
He said the Lord made the earth and everything in 7 days, and on the eighth day he made burnt ends.
I like it. Hell yeah.
My God, better, is there anything but not better to put in your mouth than burnt ends, especially from a brisket or something like that? Good night.
Not
really?
Burnt ends
are tough to beat, man. I'll tell you what. You know, we were kind of talking about it earlier. I was talking about the state shutdown up there. And, somebody did do fillets for it, and they said, you know, it was good, but it didn't have a lot of flavor. Fat is good, and I know it's not necessarily good for you, but that's what you derive your flavor from, is that fat. So, man, you're getting the burnt ends, like you say, up to that point, meaning that brisket, man. That's where we draw that flavor from. So, absolutely.
And I know a lot of people, when they go to a barbecue restaurant, do you know the good eaters from just the people who are just there to eat? The good eaters are looking at those corners, and they're saying, look, you can stick them on my plate. You know what I'm saying? So when you're cooking that night and you're coming to the ball game, save me a couple of burnt ends there, buddy.
You got it, man. We'll do it. All right, Woody. Thanks for calling in, buddy. We'll see you.
Thank you, Oscar.
Woody Chavis, Columbia, South Carolina, a long time tailgater. One of my actually original on the tailgaters, Daryl. There was four of us that kind of started this thing, and I guess I just, you know, headed up. But it was myself and Kathy and Ray Shuler that called in earlier, and Woody Chavis. We were the actual four people that started Ultimate Tailgaters back in, actually it started in 1994, but we actually met each other in 1989 in Morgantown, West Virginia is where we actually met, strangely enough. I know that's kind of a weird story, all of that, but that's where we actually met. And then over the next 3-4 years, seeing each other in away games and home games and so forth, and talking to each other, the Ultimate Tailgaters was formed, and now we're, you know, talking almost 20 years now. I guess this is close to 18, 19 years now. We've been tailgating together, so that's been a heck of a run.
Man, I'll tell you now, I'll go ahead and put this out on the air. Since I started doing live television on Alexa, my ranking has jumped up way over 2 million worldwide, and I'm about to break the 100,000 mark in the United States, where I'll be less than 100,000. And it's just a miracle. And I tell you, I should have been doing live television the whole time. But, you know, Chris, I honestly been trying to figure out what I'm doing this whole time. I don't know what brought me into barbecue, but I sure do love it every day. And, I'll tell you, I don't know where this thing's going to end up, but I just checked my Alexa rank again for today. I was scared it might have went down because I was 115,000 in the United States on Friday, which marks a 300,000 place increase since I turned the live camera on out there on the set. And it's 102,000. And went up 13,000 over the weekend. And, man, I tell you, you know, if you've got products you're trying to launch, Barbecue Superstars officially can launch your products. And I tell you, the radio's good. Now, we've launched products on the radio where now they're, you know, a national company doing real well. And there's people out there. We've made a lot of money for a lot of people.
Barbecue Superstars has, but you come and you spend a day or 2 days on that live television out there on the Barbecue Superstars set, and you better get ready because you're going to get orders from all around the world and all over the United States. And I tell you what, Chris, I don't know how or what happened, but I just want to let everybody know I appreciate every single person, you know, that has done a radio show or has been on my video and did an interview. And, you know, looking back, it was God working for me to do all that traveling, for me to meet all them people and to get out there in the barbecue world. And it's helped it out a lot, too, because Barbecue Superstars is a festival of discovery on different places in the United States and different events that go on. And if we go to an event and I film 2 days and I put up 30 videos, that event's never the same. It's always increased substantially. And, shoot, it's a miracle. And you know what, Chris? Man, you tear it up, man. You won an SCBA. You won an SBN. And how many SBNs you eyeing now? Or are you going to try to play both? Or you haven't got enough weeks left before your tailgate takes over?
Yeah, it's going to be I'm looking at now trying to catch the other SBNs. I don't know if they're how they're, you know, doing team of the year in that beginning this year. You know, we had a third place finish to start out the year. We just missed the reserve grand in the SBN, and then I think we the one in Columbia, we won ribs. I don't remember how we finished. I think we finished top 10 in that one as well. And of course, we just took the grand at this one. And I'm trying to see if I can possibly, you know, make a couple more. I don't know if they got a minimum. You got to do maybe 5 events or something. I don't know. But we're going to try to maybe make a run of that. I know we're going to go to Myrtle Beach and cook that dual event on Labor Day. And may try to find hopefully one more SBN. And, of course, we've got, you know, we've got, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4 more SCBAs we'll be cooking, you know, as well. So, and because we got a lot of catering drives lined up here to the end of August. There, I'll tell you, we probably got about 10 jobs right now lined up. I kind of figured up a couple of days ago that two of them being pretty big jobs, but you know, we're going to end up probably in the next counting last week for that 6 week time period. I know for some people it's probably small, but you know, we're going to end up probably cooking for about 1,500 people. You know, between those, you know, 8, 9 jobs. Of course, two of those were, you know, 450 each. One of them we just did, and we got one coming up here in a couple of weeks. So we're doing barbecue for 450 people. So we, you know, it's really starting to, really kind of starting to take off, Darrell. It's, you know, it's taking some time to build this thing, but we're getting a lot of, you know, repeat business from people and people holding certain events and going back and doing it and various things around Aiken and so forth. So, you know, it's the kind of thing, like I said, we try to go in and do quality stuff, cook on site, give people, you know, competition quality barbecue. We do homemade recipes for pretty much all of our side items, desserts as well. You know, we just try to do what we call good old home cooked food. And, I think, like I said, maybe the short run, it, you don't make quite as much and things like that. But, you know, our main emphasis is quality. And the type of food we're offering, and I think everything else will take care of itself. So I'm not gonna, I won't worry about that. I'd rather make a little less and put the right product on the table, you know, quite honestly. So that's how we're gonna do it, and that's hopefully that's what makes it stand out a little differently than most of them out there.
Now, Chris, what a magic day it'll be if we beat Georgia and Florida this year. And we make it to the SEC championship and beat Alabama. If we can win those three games and then face Alabama in the SEC championship game, what would you do, man? That would be like a day. That'll be a day we'll never forget. Go ahead.
That'd be a big one, I tell you. You know, that's, you know, the thing about it, when you look at us being matched up against Bama, you know, quite. I mean, of course, you know, obviously, I know Alabama. Yeah, we played them 10 times, and they probably beat us 6, 7 times a bit. But the weird thing about it is the last two times we played Alabama, we actually beat them. strange enough, I mean, go. No, let me take that back. The last three times we played them, we beat them twice. We beat them in 2010, and then I think the year before that we lost to them, and then the time before that we beat them. So kind of a weird stat, you know, considering how good they've been. Let's face it, they are, you know, they're very, very good. But you look at Georgia last year, you know, really was another play away from beating those guys. So, you know, anybody that thinks that maybe South Carolina can't do it, you know, I'm not saying we're definitely going to go out and take them, but if we can have a game where we play very well and get some breaks and, you know, and see if we're getting to that point where Bama, Carolina in the SEC Championship game, and Bama has a maybe an off day or has some critical turnovers Carolina can take advantage of, then I think we can beat them there. That's why we line up and have 11-on-11, you know. That's the whole point of it. So who can do it that day? So that's why college football is so exciting. You know, you have these upsets, and you just never know. So but yeah, that'd be awesome to be able to play those guys, and you know, for the SEC championship. Hopefully, we can get off to a good start, and you know, that Georgia game is going to be huge, and we got some tough road games in there. You know, Tennessee's rebuilt a little bit, but they're always tough in Knoxville, and of course, we got Missouri out there, and then we got Arkansas on the road as well. Another team that's kind of rebuilding, but you know, quite honestly, historically, we don't play real good in Fayetteville. So luckily, we have a nice end of the season when we close out. I think three straight games at home, and then of course we have the Gators at home, and which could very well be the deciding game for the SEC championship. So. That would be that'd be kind of cool. You know, we were fortunate to beat Florida back in 2010 to win the SEC, but that would be pretty awesome if that game, you know, for Carolina to win the SEC East, you know, at home. That would be a new high, and just Columbia. I don't mean this literally, but they'd probably burn down 5 points, man, if we beat Florida and won the SEC East. 5 points would be in trouble that night. I tell you that right now. They'd probably have to have extra security police and Columbia policemen downtown that night, no doubt.
Well, Spider J is going to give away these meat rakes, and let's talk about Oregon Ducks just a little bit for Spider now. You think they're going to sweep their conference again and be there somewhere in the top 10 by the end of the year?
You know, Oregon's going to be interesting, of course. You know, they lost their coach. He headed to the pro ranks to the Eagles, and you know, he was quite a coach.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, obviously you got a lot of the same talent there. So they should be very good again. That's going to be they're always a team to watch. But they have athletes there. They have guys that are fast and quick and you know, just guys that can really move. So I think Oregon's going to be very strong again. It'd just be, you know, interesting to see how they adjust, you know, toward, you know, big man there not being there. So I don't know a lot about their personnel, you know, just what, like, most people follow them on, you know, watching games and so forth. But that's always tough when you lose your head coach, and especially the guy. I mean, he pretty much put that he put that offense in there, and it'd be interesting to see if somebody can kind of take over when he started there. So
okay, Grilling Magic 404-840. Thanks for staying with us all this time, and we're gonna give you the meat rake. So. You want a pair of meat rakes tonight, and if you would get a hold of Chris Johnson on Facebook. Chris, how do you want him to go about getting a hold of you so he can receive his meat rakes? He's in the chat room. He'll give me an answer. And Grilling Magic, have you ever heard of meat rakes before?
Oh yeah.
Have you got a pair?
I do not.
Oh great. Chris, he's typing now. Let's see how he wants to work out. You get in touch with him so you can get your address to him, and he'll send him He'll send out a free set of meat rakes to you. And okay, email him at meatrakes, M-E-A-T-R-A-K-E-S, at hotmail.com. Send him your name and your address, and he'll send them meat rakes out to you right away. And Chris, if you don't mind, that's Chris Johnson. We'd love to give a set away every Monday. And if you're the first caller on Ultimate Tailgater BBQ, Ultimate, if you'll take that email down so we can put it up on the next week, we'll give you a free set of meat rakes every Monday. And, shoot, that would be a nice little prize for the radio show. What do you think, Chris?
That'd be awesome. I apologize. I didn't know those guys were still out there. I guess on my screen, Daryl, I'm just seeing your number, people calling in on my side. So I apologize. The Grilling Magic and Meat Rake over there, I didn't know you guys were still out there. So, but, yeah, that'd be awesome, man. That would be that'd be great, you know, especially to tell you that you got a couple of butts on the smoker there and wanting to get those things ready to have some pulled pork. And, as you know, you don't want to handle those with a bare hand. If you got something you can pull those apart pretty quickly and get that fixed up. I guess it can be used for other things as well. I guess some people got some dishes where they shred chicken and so forth, and I would assume that kind of worked for that as well. So, that would be that'd be great, man.
Yeah, I've seen these things used before. There, you can shred a Boston butt in no time, and you don't have to burn your hands, like you said. I'm about tired of burning my hands on the Boston butt, so this is awesome.
Yeah, okay, we did that big cookie pop last week. And go ahead, Joe.
I used to pair on the live television show out there, and now. You know, usually my way, and I learned this in Las Vegas, to get that big old cleaver I got and just sit there and pound it. But that meat rake kind of enabled me to pick through and get the eyes out, and pull the different parts apart where, when you're slinging the cleaver, essentially everything's chopped into the same size piece, and which it's not all bad, but them meat rakes, my hands never got hot one time. I just left my little gloves on, shoot, I loved it, and it was awesome. And, Chris, I tell you now, the fact you're doing competition Boston butts, and, man, I can't get over that, and, man, I'm going to move you up on the catering list, way up. And that kind of integrity goes a long ways, folks. And I tell you something, that right there, now you guys listen up, that's national. That's national catering excellence. And you get some of these guys who are big names that go out to your private catering party and put out bullshit. If it ain't what it looked like when it was at the comp that you saw a picture that got you to get him to come up there, get off the tailgaters, by God. He needs to go up to some of these presidential and big private parties. Because, by God, he's going to put that quality that you're paying for in there. And, it's a shame when somebody's a big name and gets $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to go up and cater, to a presidential candidate or a president or U.S. senator or some of these guys on television that are big names. And they go back there and do bullshit and just stick all the money in their pocket. Get Ultimate Tailgaters, BBQ, and I'm going to put him way up on the list. You be looking for Chris Fulmer. And next time you need a catering event and you got some money to spend, there's an old fellow down there in Aiken you need to call. His name's Chris Fulmer, by God. You get off these assholes that ain't putting out the product, and you get somebody to get some integrity. And, every day, every week that goes by, I just always look up the Ultimate Tailgaters just a little bit more.
Well, I appreciate that, Daryl. That's kind of from my background, from my dad. And I grew up in the grocery business. And my dad had three stores at one time. And, I would tell, and most people knew this, we certainly weren't the cheapest in town. We weren't the most expensive either. But what we always did was my dad always believed in quality. And we always, did that with, and of course, a lot of stuff you couldn't control. Obviously, a lot of your staple items, your canned goods, so forth. But I'm talking about, you know, our meats and our produce and so forth. We, you know, we had a lot of things we took a lot of pride in and how we sold them and the things we bought and the produce and so forth. So my dad always believed in that. And, you know, we try to do that now with our catering business. We just believe if we're going to, we're going to say we're a competition and, you know, a catering, you know, group that we should, you know, we should put it out there that way. And quite honestly, it's kind of, to me, it just kind of makes sense, too. I don't want to have a lot of different other things and create different sauces just because it costs me less and all. I just want to continue to use the same stuff. And, you know, and also, too, we're doing all this cooking like this. It kind of helps me on the competition side because we're using the same rubs and so forth, and I'm getting more comfortable with them and, you know, how we use them and so forth. So it all kind of works out good for us, really. I learn a little bit each time I cook with this stuff. And like I said, I was using, you know, inferior sauces or inferior rubs and so forth that really, it wouldn't be doing anybody good. It wouldn't do me any good, and it wouldn't be fair to the people I'm cooking for. If we tell you competition barbecue, well, by gosh, man, we're bringing the competition barbecue. That's the way it ought to be, so.
Hell yeah. I didn't mean to get on a soapbox, but I had to for a minute because that's big time news. Well.
Hey, Daryl.
Well, I appreciate that. Good.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, this is David at Grill and Magic. I'm going to have to get you some of my sauce here and dry rubs. I want you to check out my stuff here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
if you want to set it up and go. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're talking about Chris Palmer. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, David.
No, I was talking to Daryl.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, I could really use them for the show. And I tell you though, you know, I'd love to have you on the show, but now of course you live in Atlanta, so. It's probably about 150 miles, and so it will cost you some gas. And we usually start at 9 o'clock in the morning, so if you didn't come up the night before and get a room, then you'd have to, come that day early. But I would really love to have you on the show for a day or two, and shoot, let's get out there and cook together. Let's talk about all your products, and let's put out some beautiful stuff that you can you know, that we can sit there at the end of the show and say, now, if you want to do this, you need to go ahead and get some Grill and Magic. And I would love to see what the results would be because my ranking's getting so high. I'm getting a lot of exposure in the United States and around the world. And we'd like to launch a Grill and Magic. Let's launch it. Let's double or triple your business or put you out there in outer space where you can't handle it. And you'll have to get bigger and hire a bunch of people, you know, and which I don't know how many you got now, but, you know, I'd love to try it.
I actually work by myself, but I'm working from morning till night. It's taking a toll on me, but about a month ago, I guess, I had the honors of cooking for Evander Holyfield, the boxer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a trip, man. He was a really good guy. He really appreciated the food that I cooked him and stuff.
He's not wanting to quit boxing. He's wanting to try to win the world champ. He says he can beat Vladimir Klitschko. Did he say anything about that when you were around him?
Yeah, I asked him about boxing. Are you plan on fighting anymore? He said, no, I'm going to retire. He said, I'm retired now. I've had it. He's still in really good shape. He's still in really – I wouldn't want to mess with him. I told him I said, boy, I sure hope you like my barbecue. I said, I'd hate for you to kick my butt because you didn't like my barbecue. And he just laughed. He said, he's got this real soft kind of voice. He said, you don't have to worry. He said, I won't hurt you. We were just laughing.
I think the only reason he retired is pressure from the press. They jumped all over him for wanting to fight Evander. I mean, Klitschko's in them. Which, you know, he fought that giant dude at 7'3" or whatever, and he beat him, and they still gave the decision to the giant guy, and so he might not be able to get a good judging now. You know,
but
when you get down on
record.
Him, you're done. Go ahead.
Here's his record, 160 fights. He lost 14 of them and 76 knockouts. I wouldn't want to mess with him. out of
160 fights.
Yep, he under his belt. He said he was boxing. He started boxing when he was 8 years old. I not only did I cook for him, I sat there and talked with him at least an hour and a half over lunch. And there was one other guy there and his wife. We were just sitting and talking about everything. He explained about his childhood growing up in the bad area in the projects, and how people were, why he's in such a financial bind right now is because he trusted people. He trusted people that said that, don't worry, you know, I'll help you do this. And I'll, meanwhile, they robbed him of all of his money.
Yeah,
but he was a good guy, though. He really is a super, super good guy.
Well, if you plan it out, we could do the shows on Saturday and Sunday. I'd be willing to do it on Saturday and Sunday if you couldn't come during the week. And just think it over, but in the meantime, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Doing during the week is kind of hard. I got to take care of my 11 children. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have 11 kids. He does. But no, I've got to take care of my kids, and I work from home. This is all I do is the barbecue and the products that I do.
Okay.
So Saturday and Sunday, yeah, I could probably do something on a Saturday and Sunday. That'd be great.
Okay, we'll figure out what dates you can come, and if you can do it soon, don't send me any. But if you can't, send me some, and I'll get out there and cook it up with them and kind of get them out there. And then when you come up on a Saturday and Sunday, boy, we'll go all out. And who knows, if you get a order from Dublin, Ireland, then we've done good.
Yeah, I actually have, right now I've got two Ace Hardware selling my products and a meat market. I've got another guy in Connecticut that's getting ready to be a dealer for me. But, yeah, I'm looking for dealers all over the place for my products, trying to get out there. My products are, they're all natural, no chemicals, no preservatives, no MSG, no high fructose corn syrup. I mean, it's just really, it's truly a good barbecue sauce. And I designed it the very first time I designed it, or when I was, it took me about a year to develop it. When I finished, I had to send everything to UGA to get it tested. And usually they'll go back and forth if the pH balance isn't right. Well, the first time that I sent it there, they sent me back two statements for my different products that I've made, and they said they're perfect. Actually, they're better than perfect. No preservatives needs to be put in there, or any additives need to be put in there. So it is 100% natural. The reason why I designed it is because I'm allergic to so many chemicals and so much preservatives and stuff. And every time I eat something, I'd get sick. So I came up with this recipe tailored around my dietary restrictions, and it works out for me. I'm also gluten-free. I can't guarantee that it's not certified gluten-free, because they do make stuff in the factory, I'm sure, that has gluten products in it. But my products, I don't put any flours or any gluten products in it. There's no soy sauce in it. So it doesn't upset me.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, natural is the big thing today. And well, we've about run out of, let's see, Guy Cummings, you don't have a caller, do you, Chris?
Yeah, let's see, I think it's just 847-553.
Yeah, that's Guy Cummings. Put him in, let's talk to him for a minute. Now, he's been on here one time before, Chris, and I don't know if you remember, but
yeah, I remember Guy
he's
from
really...
Chicago. I'm from Chicago. Yeah, I remember Guy.
Yeah, he's really funny, man. Oh, Lord, here we go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We were sitting all the ladies together at the ACM Awards. This guy liked to make me laugh till I had a stroke.
Hey, Daryl, Chris, how you boys doing?
Hey, we're doing
good,
man.
Doing good.
Well, good. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sitting outside the shop right now, playing it all redneck, watching the sun go down. Man, it's been a great day today. Out here in Hebron, Kentucky.
What'd you do today?
Kentucky, huh?
Well, I unpacked a box, and I made a martini.
Don't worry about the timer. Go ahead, man.
Well, that's about it.
I was waiting for this big magic something. I didn't know what.
Sounds like you overworked yourself. You need a vacation now.
You know, my arm has hurt me a little bit. I think I got to switch arms. Hey, a couple things. You know, on a serious note, Daryl. You know, my brother, I can't thank you and Chris enough for having Doc on the radio on the 6th of July there the 4th of July actually. It was 4th of July, I think we did that. And you know, Doc is you know, he's like you, Daryl, is my friend, and you know, he drove all the way from Missouri clean to Hebert, Kentucky, a good 10-hour drive, and him and his family come and stay with me for a few days, and you know, I did some good guys barbecue, if you know what I'm saying, and Lord knows we did some good guys drinking and bonfire, and we watched movies on the side of the shop outside, and you know, it was just a good time, and you know, I'm glad he had a great time on you guys' radio show, and you know, what an honor to have a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient as a friend. You know, he's a good guy.
Yeah, you say he jumped on a grenade expecting to lose his life, and it just happened not to go off. And boy, I tell you, that took a lot of courage. He was willing to go ahead and give it all up to save everybody.
Yeah, he didn't even bat an eye, man. There's a, you know, that's a Navy corpsman. You know, Marines. We love our corpsmen, you know, and Doc is, you know, he's my friend for life. You know, he's just that way.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a great story.
Yeah, he's a good boy. I only got Silver Star. I mean, this badass got the Congressional Medal of Honor. You know, I can't top that.
Yeah.
Guys, that was funny. I mean, you know. I do call myself.
You got me so off guard. I don't know what to think now. I mean.
Well, I tell you something. I got some. Man, there's gonna be a lot of hearts breaking tonight when I tell you this whole story. Now, I called in for a reason, Daryl.
Okay, go ahead.
And you know, I don't know if you guys got a delay on this thing, but, you know, you should have a delay thing. You just never know what's going to come out of my mouth. But, you know, I'm always respectful of the radio and the airwaves and all that good stuff. But, you know, what the hell? Hey, Eddie, how you doing, man? Eddie's my neighbor. He's walking around with shorts on, leaning on his truck. He's my neighbor. And at least he's got shorts on, which is a good thing. And I kind of had a sweet little cutie ask me to make her the ultimate smoker, and being the engineer that I am, and been to a million different, you know, Jesus, Daryl, I mean, how many smokers have we seen over our days?
Oh, a bunch, yeah.
Man, and all you guys that have built your own smokers, I'm stealing all your ideas, all the best ones, all of them. And I'm going to combine and make one hell of a smoker. I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but I got some great ideas. And so I just had two big old honking big round tanks just show up yesterday, and they put them in my yard here. And the design and the ideas, you know, I just got to keep drinking and get the right idea going. But it all comes to fruition. And Daryl, I'm telling you what, grand opening day, baby. Me and you, we're going to eat some barbecue on this bad boy.
Yeah, man, I'd love to be there. And now this weekend I'm going to St. Louis, and he's going to build an offset smoker live on television. And if you want to get some more ideas, you might ought to watch, because I don't know what in the world all is going to happen.
Well, I tell you, you know that I moved from Chicago, and my whole company moved from Chicago, Illinois, to Hebron, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
You moved?
Yeah, my business, my panties, my everything, man. I'm for real. I'm in Hebron, Kentucky now.
You were in Chicago, right?
I'm sorry?
Ahead. You were in Chicago or you were in Indiana? Go ahead.
Well, I was in Chicago, but I just moved my business. I just moved my business completely to Hebron, Kentucky, where Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky all meet. I'm right on that point of Kentucky, is where Hebron, Kentucky is. And so now I'm a lot closer to you now, man.
Yeah, shoot, you're a little hop, skip, and a jump around across there.
Hell yeah. So anyways, I got some more. Great. Dude, I'm going to blow your socks off now. I'm saving some of the best stuff for last. You just never know what I'm going to say, do you, sir?
No, I don't. I don't want to take you serious or not either. I think we're into the serious stuff now, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So, look, you know me. I'm in, you know, I run hard. I'm around a lot of celebrities and this and that. You know, God knows a lot of women. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You know, I'll throw it out there. You know, I have no clue why. But I actually met a woman a while back. And Daryl is going to break your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her to marry me.
You did?
Congratulations.
Well, I'm not gay, God dog it. You know? Yeah, I said dog
it. Well, I mean, who is it? Do I know
him? Huh?
Have I ever met her or I don't know her?
No, you know what? I think you're a Facebook friend with her. Her name's Amanda Johnson. She's a cooker.
Okay.
She's a barbecuer. Her name's Amanda Johnson. You got to look her up. And I know, she ain't butt ugly. Jesus Christ, you know, come on.
Don't say that,
she's,
man.
Well, she's sitting right next to me, so I got to be kind of conservative. She's 64 years old. I'm kidding. Well, you're looking her up right now, I know.
Yeah, I am.
I'm looking her up. You are.
Good
I know
Lord,
you
man.
Are.
you ain't got like a... Okay, I got a Mandy Johnson. Amanda
Davis.
Mandy
Johnson.
Mandy Johnson?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
Amanda
Young,
yeah.
Wow.
Right, and look at my old fat ass.
Is that your daughter? Oh, okay, you asked her to be your wife. Okay, I got you.
Now, you know, it's funny. We were at a tavern. We were at a tavern the other night, and here comes this old gal. And when I say old gal, she was every bit the same age as me. And she's on one side of me, and Mandy's on the other side, and this gal's trying to, like, pick me up or something, you know. And she goes, so is that your daughter? And I'm like, pussy, please, you know. I mean, really, you know. And Amanda just starts laughing, you know, like, ha, ha, ha. You know, talk about having a medal on your chest, you know. All you guys, you know, all I got to say is thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. I'm really glad for you. And I tell you, I love my wife a whole bunch, and I'm really lucky to have her. And I tell you, a woman makes a man stronger, you know. And so that's really big news. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. And you know, she just finally got here. Her U-Haul truck, her U-Haul stop truck's convoy, I should say, showed up here right about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and then mine showed up here right about a month, month and a half ago. And so it's just been a moving, you know, thing. And, dude, it's been a fiasco from all kinds of hell. But we got the house livable now, and I really, you know me, I don't really care about the house. I care more about the shop. I can take my party bus and do U-turns in it. I mean, it is badass.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. So let's talk about some good things. I mean, some great things. Well, wait. We just talked about a great thing. Some more things. There you go. She corrected me again. We're sitting outside the shop here on the back of my fancy golf cart. I got two slot machines. So we're sitting here playing slots, and we were swapping swap and spit for a minute and talking about this and that. And we turned on Facebook, and there you popped up. She goes, oh, I know that guy. I'm like, yeah, I know him too. Let's get on the radio. So there we are.
Oh, really? Is that why you called in? Because you see me on, she see me on Facebook?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Well, they had it because I should call and say, hey, thank you, you know. You know, you don't mean, you never know when I call in, but how's everything going, man? What have you been up to? What's going on?
Well, I started a live television show from 9 to 11 in the morning, and it's just through the roof, bud. And I was thankful early. I was thanking God that, things have gone the way they have in the last 3 months. And, shoot, man, I tell you, anything I do now on the live television, I put on the website or on any of these radio shows, it's big news. And, shoot, you know, like you said the other day when you called me, you know, I stuck with it, and I'm so glad I did now. And we're just looking for what's going to happen in the future, and some big sponsors coming on, and then trying to move into a regular television channel. I want to get a regular television station built in the backyard and or buy a building, and then have an official Barbecue Superstars, and then start sponsoring teams to come cook on the air. And in other words, promote teams on live television to promote their brand. And who knows? I'll
yep.
start my own Barbecue Pit Masters and Barbecue Chop, and we'll do some shows, daily shows. And at night, and, you know, I think everybody knows I want to do this, but I'll say it again. I want to have a Johnny Carson show at night, but a Barbecue Johnny Carson show. And get somebody like, I want Diva Q. I'll be honest, I want Diva Q. But I want to get somebody like Diva Q, 7 to 9 at night, you know, come on, talk a little junk, go over there and sit down, have a badass band over there, and then talk about the barbecue competition through the week, and just have a good time, and do it Monday through Friday, and then, or Monday through Thursday. Really, a barbecue, you can all do those kind of things Monday through Thursday, and then it has to all be events. But that's sort of what I'm doing, and I got some great people around me, great friends, Chris Fulmer, Ultimate Tailgater BBQ, and that's something I want to throw at you. I know you do all these big events, but if you want a good quality cook with integrity, Chris Fulmer right there, he'd be worth the money to get him out there. He's going to put out, and he'll be there when he says, he'll do what he says, and he's a great cook and all that, but that's about the long and short of it, and sound like you've been doing pretty good over there too, bud.
Yeah, I'm all hemmed up, but all hemmed up in a great way. If there's anybody that's lived their life to their fullest, I mean, God knows I have. And here's a lady who doesn't slow me down, and she actually pushes me even harder. And she's got a great business sense, which is I need somebody behind the scenes, you know, watching the books and trying to cook them the best you can, and cook food the best you can. I was kidding, IRS, I was kidding about the books, okay? I was kidding. But no, and Mandy brings a lot of the plate to the plate, not only emotionally, but professionally as well. I got out of cooking. I was more about entertainment and at the barbecue contest, providing a sense of gathering and a sense of laughter, and, you know, while you're waiting for that good rub to get done and all that sort of stuff, you know, for the next day, and give everybody a little bit of a break and let them ease down just a little bit and hype them up. And Amanda wants to start cooking a little bit, so I think I'm going to sponsor her a little bit and still keep my distance from her cooking, of course, you know, because, you know, I can't, you know, right there. But I will definitely be very, very to her and that kind of stuff. And Daryl, you know, I've said to you once before in private, and I'll say it to you again publicly. Of all the media guys I know, and I do know a lot of not only television but radio people, you are the only one that I always come to first. I've watched you, and I want to see you be successful, man. You've got the heart and soul what a lot of guys forgot about, and that's what I appreciate. And I wish a lot of people were inspired to mirror their careers after it, and that's what's key. You know, that's what it's all about. Just good, clean fun and helping people. That's what it's all about. you do a great job doing that. And Chris, I'm not discounting you out of it either. I know you're in the background there, baby, but, you know, you're right there as well.
I appreciate it, man. Y'all, Darren does a great job. I tell you, he's really, you know, making barbecue, making big inroads. And it's come a long way in the last, I guess, what we know each other, Darren, last 2.5 years, I guess. You know, just starting out kind of filming people at comps and so forth. And, you know, now, you know, the radio shows and live TV, man, it's come a long way in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a few acres here, Darryl and Chris. We got a few acres here. It's flipping beautiful. I got a big high-def projector system set out, and my shop is 60 feet wide, and the wall's 20 feet tall on the outside, and that's our TV screen. The bonfire sits right next to it. I always have a couple tents out there and some chairs. My neighbor just happens to have 160 acres of vegetables and everything, so there's no shortage supply of any kind of vegetable you can imagine to barbecue with. And, hell, the guy even says, kill the deer, please. You know, so we can go hunting out there, go fishing, and smoke whatever we want. You know, I mean, it's just like that. I mean, it's amazing. It's literally God's country. We are 5-minute walk from the river. I mean, you walk on this ridge right here and look right down on the Ohio River. It's just amazing.
Oh, wow.
So
you're right up there by Cincinnati, correct?
Yeah, I'm south of Cincinnati, right about 30 minutes. Yep, I'm right next to Florence. I mean, there's a little spot of Hebron, Kentucky. It's right on the point right there, and I'm on that point of that. I'm just outside of town just a little bit, man. It is flipping. It's God's country. He came down and he rubbed it with his hand a little bit. He put some good rub on it. It's good. It really is nice here. You know, so we'll have to, when you boys are close, we'll have to have you come on down here and we'll pop a couple tents and kick a big fire up, and we'll show you some Southern hospitality you won't forget.
I like that.
Well, Chris, man, I guess it's time to go. I love you, man, and thanks for calling in, guy. What a great radio show. You know, we heard from a little bit of everybody tonight, Jim and Chris.
Yep, good show tonight. We did some barbecue, did some tailgating, talked some products, meat rake, grilling magic. We had a great show, so we're going to really crank it up as we get closer to football season. So, yeah, we can appreciate guy calling in. Good hearing from him, and congratulations on the only engagement. When's the big day, guy?
Hell, I don't know, man. When she invites me, I'll be there, man. What can I say?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, Chris, you want to say one thing?
What happened?
I'll text you a picture of the round thing that I gave her.
There you go.
Yeah, I love you guys both, and congratulations on your success, Darryl. Anything I can do for it, baby, let me know.
I will, guys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
the call.
All right, take care, guys.
Hey, Chris, are you still there?
All right, Darryl.
All right, bud. Go ahead, Matt Grill. Matt, you got something to close it out with?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing to Chris. If you could send me a friend request on Facebook, Gorilla Magic, or David at Gorilla Magic. Actually, I think it's just facebook.com/GorillaMagic, because for some stupid reason, I think I'm spamming people for a whole 30 days from requesting a friend of mine that I've had for probably 30 years.
Wow.
So if you can send me a request, I can accept it, and then we can talk back and forth. That's no problem. But as of right now, I've been trying to send you some messages every which way, and I can't because they blocked me. So.
Okay, so I need to.
Actually, you can just go
do
to
it,
GM. Yeah, you can actually go to gmbbq.com, and it will go straight to my Facebook. I have a forward straight to it. It's GM for Grill and Magic, gmbbq.com, and it will go straight to my Facebook. And just send me a friend request. I'll accept it, and we can go from there. And I appreciate everything, everyone. Enjoy the show, and I'll hope to see you guys next week. And Darryl,
just put that request to you.
Okay, go ahead. I'll try to make arrangements to get down there. You said next week, next weekend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I might actually be open, so I'll keep in touch with you, okay? Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
And
sounds great. That sounds great.
Have a great week.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it, man. Take care, buddy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Darrell, good deal, man. Now you're ready to go in here and do some, okay? He's already been doing a lot of it, some prepping for a catering job tomorrow. So, and I got your message, and I'll hook up with you in the next couple of weeks. We'll do a tailgate show here the next, the next month before football season cranks up. We'll come up with some, 2 to 3 or 4 items. I'll come up there and we'll do a little tailgate cook. And
we got to get you out there big, man.
I appreciate it. Well, great show, man. Great show. We've got good things going on. So we'll be hollering at you. Take care, buddy.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right, Darrell. See you, buddy.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.